Good afternoon, everyone. It's Aaron Smith here from Aaron Dyslexia. Hope everyone's well. So it is day 5 of Dyslexia Week. I've got it right. I keep saying Dyslexia Awareness Week, but it's Dyslexia Week. It's been an amazing week. We've had so much stuff going on all around the world, all around the country. It's been brilliant to see all the social, all the activities going on. Of course, today is Co-occurring Differences Day, talking about neurodiversity. So I'm really excited today that I have an amazing interview with Judy Horney-Gold, who I've worked with before, and I think she's just an amazing person. She's going to talk a lot about some of the neurodiversity concepts that we've known about. But before we do that, don't forget, one of the things that I do as Aaron Dyslexia is I do a lot of things with Microsoft, and I also do a lot of things with the Dyslexia Show. UK's first national exhibition dedicated to dyslexia has been announced 25th, 26th of March, 2022. Next year, it is now live. You can book, you can see over 60 seminars. It's just going to be amazing to see. So go to dyslexiashow.co.uk and find out more about that. Talking about dyslexia is something we all have to do when we talk to our parents, our adults, our friends. Dyslexia is not that negative thing we have to worry about. For me, it's the positive side of it. Look at my dyslexia. I have achieved. Yes, I've had the support. Yes, my parents fought for me. Yes, I have fought for myself as well. And that's the whole point of it. But remember that I'm not just dyslexic, I'm dyslexic. I also have tendencies of dyspraxia and then tendencies of ADHD and ASD. So for me, I am very neurodiverse. I have very quirky ways of doing things. I have very set ways of doing things. And I don't always manage to do things in the best way because of my differences. But I do achieve and I get there. And that's what our podcast is all about today. So I'm really excited to introduce Judy Horney-Gold for you. So enjoy listening. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second part of this podcast today. And I'm joined by a good friend of mine and colleague, Judy Horney-Gold. How are you, Judy? Are you all right?
I'm very well. Thanks, Aaron. And thank you for asking me today.
That's brilliant. So as we know, as I've mentioned previously, and as you know, it's Co-occurring Differences Day as part of Dyslexia Awareness Week or Dyslexia Week, that I've got to keep remembering to call it that. Actually, that's the first thing. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell me who you are, what you've done in the past, and your relation to different differences around dyslexia and other co-occurring differences?
Okay, so I'm Judy Horney-Gold. I'm a primary school teacher originally, and then I moved into the field of dyslexia and special needs, partly because my youngest is dyslexic. I ended up working as a senior lecturer at Edgehill University, where I was working on the dyslexia program, and then developed a program, a PG cert for dyscalculia, which was something that I felt was not really having a lot of notice taken of it. And so I now train teachers, and I'm an author with books on dyslexia and dyscalculia. And there's a big crossover between the two, I think. There's a higher occurrence of people with both than you would necessarily expect.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for that. So when we use the term co-occurring differences, what do you feel that means? What's your interpretation of that terminology?
I think it's where you've got a complex profile, really. And I think often you find it very difficult to find someone who's only got dyslexia. Indeed, a little bit of dyslexia, or maybe some ASD or language disorder, communication disorder. So it's very rare to have these specific learning differences in isolation. And I think it's typical of the kind of neurodiversity that we have, that people are complex and it's not as straightforward as you think, and there will often be more than one aspect in play at any time.
It's interesting though, you said the word neurodiversity, didn't you? And is it, I don't know if you feel this, I remember that when I first worked within the field of dyslexia, that we used to use the word dyslexia, and we had this word comorbidity. Mm-hmm. And then it's changed to co-occurring differences, and kind of neurodiversity is kind of now the newer word. Do you think that's true, or is that just me being like trying to just link words together? What's your feeling about that?
And no, I think you're absolutely right, Aaron. And I think we wanted to move away from comorbidity because it sounded a bit grim. And then I think now we're in the diverse nature of humans, and this neuro, I think, is giving it a spin in the fact that everybody is different and everybody has different strengths and weaknesses. And I think if we can engage in that rather than thinking as we used to that dyslexia was a medical condition and it was something that was wrong, we've certainly moved a long way away from that now, and we're celebrating the diversity of the human beings rather than looking for things that need fixing. So there's a very different approach and attitude. And I certainly would, as much as I could always try to say difference rather than difficulty, because I think it's important that we look at it as a difference rather than a difficulty.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The BDA did a conversation with HSBC a few days ago, and they had that was a really good debate they had on that video about the conference of difficulties or differences, and I'm with you on that. I'm going to ask you now a question about the title for Dyslexia Week is Invisible Dyslexia. Do you think that sits quite well with that, actually, that all co-occurring differences are invisible as well?
Yes, I think it is. And I think one of the things that, you know, is an issue with any of these specific learning differences is they're not so visible. But actually, that sometimes makes people think they should be hidden. And I don't think they should be hidden. I think they should be celebrated, and people shouldn't be ashamed of any learning difference that they have. And I think more and more now we're looking at dyslexia as a positive thing because of the strengths that dyslexic people have. But you're right, because it's invisible, maybe there's a perception that it should stay hidden, and I don't think it should.
No, I think that's definitely true. So over the last 10 minutes, we've talked about a number of different conditions. So let's start with, we'll end with dyscalculia because we know that's your favourite subject and I know how much you're passionate about it. So we've said the word dyspraxia. What's your kind of best way of describing dyspraxia in a couple of sentences? You say?
Historically, it was called clumsy child syndrome, which I know is a very kind of basic way of looking at it, but it's certainly something to do with the way that the brain is giving messages in terms of your fine and gross motor control. So a typical dyspraxic child may have difficulty tying their laces, you know, doing up buttons, that kind of thing. But also we know now that there are this isn't just one sentence, sorry Aaron. Dyspraxic learners can be affected by noise and strobe lights and all that kind of thing. So it's almost within that attention deficit spectrum as well. And the implications are there for mathematics as well, you know, as you say, it's my pet topic. In terms of spatial awareness and that kind of thing, it can have an impact on that.
It's also, am I right in thinking that it's also probably known as DCD as well, isn't it?
Developmental Coordination Disorder,
Oh, it's disorder. I thought it was difficulties. That's interesting.
Oh, it could be.
That was okay. We will let
correct me.
That's fine. But you know what? That is really interesting. That is because it's one of the things that is co-occurring. Like, and you've mentioned ADHD there as well, that have got that more medical approach where it comes to dyslexia and dyspraxia dyslexia and dyscalculia is very much educational. So we've mentioned ADHD or remind me the terminology because I always get it wrong. It's hyperactivity attention deficit disorder. Is that right? Did I get that right? No, yes. I didn't get that right.
Yes, I think maybe in a different order. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. These labels change so frequently. And I remember Neil Mackay saying that it's not actually an attention deficit. It's that you're attending to everything. And that's the problem, that you don't know what to filter out and you don't know what's important. So you are distracted by everything around you. So it's not really a deficit. It's almost like a over-attending.
No, that's fascinating. That is a terminology we don't use a lot in the UK, and it kind of goes back to the concept of dyspraxia, the word dysgraphia. I feel that is all about that fine motor coordination. Would you feel that's correct, or would you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I know, I agree with you. And I think it is a term that we don't use that often. And I was only talking to some people, funnily enough, in Australia. I was doing some training this morning about dysgraphia. That it's almost like a subset of dyslexia, the way it's viewed in the UK. It's almost like part of dyslexia. But actually, it's a very severe, almost like a fear of writing. So there is the physicality of it, that your fine motor skills aren't up to scratch in terms of handwriting and that kind of thing. But it's more of a block between the brain and the hand in terms of writing. So children with dysgraphia, they may well have messy handwriting, but they may also have a very kind of stiffness in their wrist that because of the tension they're feeling towards writing. So there's a psychological element as well as a physical element.
That's brilliant. So let's now, before we end it, let's talk about the topic that I know you love to bits, and you are an amazing talker about it and speaker about it, because I've heard you talk many times. What is dyscalculia?
So dyscalculia, if I was going to put it in its basic form, and I don't really like using this form, is dyslexia with numbers. Now, people will shoot me down for saying that, but that's pretty much what it is. It's a very, very fundamental lack of understanding of numbers and our number system. So it's not that you can't do fractions or you don't understand place value. It's more that you haven't even appreciated the relative magnitude of numbers. So you don't know that 9 is more than 6 because you don't have you haven't attached that numerical magnitude to those number symbols. So it's a very profound difficulty, but not insurmountable. And there are lots of ways that we can help children with dyscalculia to make progress in maths and to function as numerate adults as they go around their daily business. So, but yes, it's my favourite subject as well. You know, Aaron.
As well, yeah. I think it's brilliant. So I want to thank you, Judy, for an amazing conversation about today, the co-occurring differences day, the neurodiverse community. So if people want to get hold of you, they want to find you on any social media or some of the books you've written. Do you want to give us a little bit of a rundown of how people can find out more about you?
Yes, they can find out on my website, which is narcissistically just my name, so studiohornygold.co.uk. And then Steve Chin and I run the Dyscalculia Association, and you can find that. We have a website for that as well, so it's dyscalculiaassociation.uk.
That's brilliant. That's fine. And do you want to name what's my favourite book of yours? Because I can never remember it. The green book that you have. What's it called?
Making Maths Visual and Tactile.
That's the one. That's the one. Yes, that's the one. And I know you can get a box of information. You can get a box of cool toys to go with it as well. I'm going to say cool toys because I think that they're all math manipulatives, aren't they?
That's right. And that's from SEN Books.
Yes, that's brilliant. So I want to thank you, Judy, for taking part. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, you can find out more about me at Aaron Dyslexia, or come to the Aaron Dyslexia website. I'll be giving 2 more podcasts. Of course, we've got Visibility Day tomorrow, and then of course it's World Mental Health Day on Sunday, where we'll talk about mental health and dyslexia. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Take care.
Thanks.